chapter 34 or 60 or 36 even in Jeremiah is a really interesting chapter in the book of Jeremiah. One of the interesting things is that it shows us that if Jehoiakim had fulfilled his plan, his desire, that we would not have had the book of Jeremiah. But that would never have happened in the sense that simply this, that God is watching over his word in order to perform it. He is faithful in this. But as Jeremiah opens this particular chapter, he wants us to know exactly when all this happened. Notice there it was in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. Jehoiakim became king of Judah in 609 BC or around about then. So this event occurred some 4 years after the king had been enthroned, which was the very first year that the Babylonians were beginning to make moves to win some of the cities and make victories in their plan to take over the then known world. We know also from chapter 35, which is just me to go back to recap on one or two things that we didn't touch on there. It informs that the Rechabites were, or the Rechabites were actually in Jerusalem at the time. Now this was a group of people. They were an unusual group of people, really. Recorded for us in Jeremiah 35, they were a group of people who were nomads, Jews, who were told or followed the words of their father, Jehonadab, that they would never, ever live in houses that were built by hands, and they would also never plant vines, and also that they would actually never, ever drink from the fruit of the vine. And Jeremiah used them as a living testimony to individuals who took the word or the words of men, man-made rules, and stuck to it over against how God's people, Israel, failed time and time again to listen and to heed the word of the Lord God Almighty. This Rechabites community were living in the area, and the reason why they were in Jerusalem, this nomad group of people, was because at that particular time, Nebuchadnezzar and the forces of Babylon were beginning to gather through the nations, through the nation, and as a result, they moved into Jerusalem just in order to try and protect themselves. And in the midst of that, God spoke to them and also spoke through Jeremiah to say, listen, do you not realize that I'm going to destroy Jerusalem because of its sin? In other words, you would have been better staying out, away from here, because I'm going to destroy this place. So all this happened, and as it is happening, God's word comes to Jeremiah again. Now again, Jehoiakim, just to say, was an evil king. He was an arrogant, power-crazed, evil man who despised the word of God, but also despised the men of God as well. This chapter is important for several different reasons. Maybe for us to see that it shows us that one may be how one receives a prophetic book like Jeremiah and how it's actually written down. You know that when the book of Luke was written and Acts as well, that the doctor recorded those things, and it was the defense. It was a letter that was written to Dear Theophilus in order, we assume, that he was trying to defend Paul in Rome. We know that also many of the letters were gathered together to instruct the church how they should live godly lives, and all these became part of the canon of the word of God, and so did the prophetic books as well. When God spoke directly to his people and he instructed them, his servants, to record all these things down. It also shows us that a wise government does want the counsel of those who truly know God's written word. It is a foolish government that despises the word of God and demeans it. It also shows that some of God's people actually hate and despise God's written word and those who bring God's word. How sad that is, but how true it is, even in our day. that there are those who decide that we won't preach those bits because, oh, that's a bit judgment. And we were speaking this morning on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew a pastor who once would not allow the blood of Jesus Christ to be spoken from the pulpit or sung in any of the songs because it caused an offense to too many people. How sad. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, couldn't be spoken of. It also shows us that when some people oppose God's word, others will support them, and it also shows us what happens when we treat God's word lightly. We notice there in Jeremiah 1 and verse 2 that as Jeremiah began his ministry there, and we come to this point, we're recorded for us that he was now in his 23rd year of his ministry. The Lord had been faithful to his servant and faithfully given him the word to declare. And Jeremiah, not in his own strength, but through the strength of God's Spirit, had remained faithful right the way through down all those years of ministry. But what God wanted him to do as he wrote down all of these prophecies was to bring about to this point all the things that he's spoken to the nation thus far. It was God saying and speaking his word, and Jeremiah's job was simply to write it down. And so what we see here as he records this for us is simply this, that any person who treats God's word that has been written down and the warnings that God's word contains, if they treat it disrespectfully, God will judge them. God will chastise them. It is not a light thing to disregard and dismean God's word. We're going to see this in several ways this evening. The first thing I notice is there is that God gives his word to Jeremiah in order to proclaim for the first time in verses 1 right the way through to 26 now. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, including all the seven distinctive things that we're going to see at the moment. But we're not going to go through them all one by one. Just several things I want to point out. The first thing that God we see there is he told him to take a scroll and write the words I've told you. From this, we may assume several things. The first thing is that he was writing maybe on papyrus reed because we know that it was burnt in the fire. In other words, it wasn't leather parchment, but we also know that typically a scroll was about 30 feet long and about 10 inches wide. It was wrapped around those wooden scrolls and it would be wrapped around and it would be opened up so that the particular passage that you wanted to read could be easily read, and then you'd close it and then you'd open up a bit more. This is exactly the scroll that would have been brought to the Lord Jesus Christ when he sat there and read from Isaiah 61 that we read earlier on tonight. When he said, these words have been fulfilled in your very presence. God said to Jeremiah, I want you to write the word down. Write all my words given to you and speak them to Israel, to Judah, and to all the nations. Notice there what it says. Write all the words, not just some of them, not just the ones that will make the people feel happy, but all the words, even the words, and especially the words of his judgment. God's judgment was coming, and all the people needed to hear about it. Do you know, God's judgment is coming, not just in Jeremiah's day, but we're on the verge of God's judgment now. And all the people need to hear about it. We can, and we need to do. I was reminded in, Chris, to pick on you, brother, in your prayer tonight when you prayed just before the meeting when we gathered together in the other room. You prayed that we would have love and compassion and offer truth gently to people. But one of the things that the brother prayed is simply this, what I'm saying tonight, is we need to give them the truth. It's not just sufficient to say, there, God loves you. We need to speak the truth. We need to do it in love. Amen. But we need to speak the truth of God's pending judgment as well. Now, I'm not saying that we should all put those sandwich boards on us and walk up the street and play cross and saying, the end is nigh, unless the Lord calls you to do that. If that's your ministry, then the Lord bless you in it. It's not my ministry. But what my ministry is and what yours is to get alongside people, to minister the grace of God to them in love and in kindness and speak truth and say, do you know the things that are happening in our world? God's got to judge them, but you know, God's provided for us. He's made a way to be set free from his judgment. That's what Jeremiah was doing in his day. There's no different than we've got to do. That's why Jeremiah is so relevant for the days in which we're living in, because we're living penned in judgment of God. And God said to Jeremiah, if the people knew my word, if the people knew what I was going to do, then they would repent. Then they would change their mind and turn from their wicked ways. All my ways from Josiah until now. Josiah began his reign in 640 BC. So God wanted Jeremiah to go back 20 plus years and write down all of God's word, all that God had spoken to him until the present time. Notice that the job was to write the words down. He'd spoken them, but also to record them as well, so the next generations would know. This is how God communicates with his people through his word. Now, God started speaking to Jeremiah in 627 BC, so he'd wanted him to carefully go back and record everything that had been said. Why, Lord? Why would you do that? Lord, I've already spoken. Why would... Jeremiah didn't do this, by the way. I'm just questioning. Lord, why would you want this to be repeated? Simply this. Look what it says there. Verse 3. Perhaps, just perhaps, when the people of Judah hear about every disaster I plan to inflict on them, each of them will turn from his wicked way. Then I will forgive their wickedness and their sin. Perhaps, God says, when the people of Judah hear what I'm about to do, they would turn and I will forgive them. One purpose of the word of God and the warnings of God is to bring people to the point where they will turn away from their sins. The judgment of God is not simply to punish them. The pronounced judgment of God is that the people would be fearful of God and turn from their wicked ways and put their trust in him. Biblical warnings are not given to destroy, they're given in order to save. God offers his people grace and forgiveness so they will turn from their evil ways. He is a forgiving God and he longs to forgive and he longs to bless. The problem is most won't want to turn from their evil ways. The sad reality is you can warn most people that judgment disaster is coming, but they won't repent. And I know it breaks the heart of God, and I know it breaks God's people's heart as well. You know, there's a remarkable picture in Revelation 9 of the mindset of the people during some of those last days. After God has spoken by pouring out his wrath on many of the nations, after 3 years, the people know that it's his wrath. There's no doubt that it's not God's wrath. And if you turn in Revelation 9 and verse 20, you read these words, and the rest of mankind who had already received and heard and experienced the wrath of God being poured out, who were not killed, the rest of them, by the plagues, did not repent. They saw the judgment of God in those last days. They will see it. And even though they'll see it and experience the wrath of God, they will refuse to repent. God gave his word to his people so that they would turn from their sin and receive his forgiveness. So in the aftermath of God giving this assignment to Jeremiah, he calls Baruch to dictate the word of God and tell them to write it down and take it to the temple and read it. The whole project, by the way, of writing the word of God down that Jeremiah had received took around about a year or so. You notice there in verse 1, it says in the fourth year. And by the time you get into verse 9, it says in the ninth month of the fifth year. So it was around about a year or so this project took place. And after it had finished, Baruch done exactly what Jeremiah asked him to do. Jeremiah, for some reason, it says there, was restricted, so he wasn't able to go into the temple. Conjecture here, maybe we don't fully know why he couldn't. He could have been in prison. He could have been in hiding because his own life had been threatened on so many occasions. But the greater suggestion was this, is that the authorities around the temple just would not allow him to go in. They were sick of him speaking the truth of the word of God. They just didn't like it anymore. And so they restricted him. So he said to Baruch, you go and you deliver the word of God. And that's exactly what he did. Jeremiah said that there is always the hope that the people will listen and turn from evil, and then God's anger and his wrath will be thwarted. Folks, this is what we hope, is it not? Every time we share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ with others, every time we expound the scriptures, is it not our hope that men and women would turn from their evil ways, that they would repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Baruch obeyed and did exactly what Jeremiah told him to do. And we notice that in verses 8 through to 10. That in the ninth month, 604 BC, 1 year after they'd written, Baruch entered the temple and he began reading. Now you would think that everyone going to the temple would want to hear the word of God, wouldn't you? That they'd be excited to hear what God wanted to say to them. You'd think that one thing that they would be doing when they gather in God's house would be longing to hear God's word. Baruch read this message from the room of Jeremiah that the son of Shaphar. Now, we don't know why it was there. Maybe Jeremiah had actually given permission to do that in order for him to do that. We're not sure, but he did it. Maybe he was favorable to letting him do it. Well, when Micah, Jeremiah's son, heard the message of the word of God that had been written down and spoken, he was undone. He immediately went to the officials, to Elishamiah the scribe and Deliah and Elnathan. Elnathan's an easy one to pronounce, but some of these others. But he went to them all, and he just assumed that when they heard all that was being said, that they would respond in the same way. And they did to a certain extent. They said, the king must hear all this. All that has been said, they looked at one another. I would have loved to have seen that look, wouldn't have you, as they looked at one another and said, oh, we didn't know this was going to happen. They wanted to make sure that the king knew. This was an important day. But they also wanted to verify that this was the word of the Lord from Jeremiah. Look what it says there. Is this something? So Baruch read to them when they had heard these words. They looked at each other in verse 15 and asked, tell us, how did you come to write all of this? Did Jeremiah dictate it to you? Is this the word of the Lord through Jeremiah? Or is this just your own thinking, Baruch? And Baruch answered and said, yes, I dictated everything that the Lord's servant had told me to do. And so they hid the scroll. They put it in and they reported to the king after saying that Jeremiah and Baruch needed to hide because, conjecture here, but I think it's good conjecture, they must have had a love for Jeremiah. These men, they must have wanted to protect him, to make sure that he was safe, because they knew that the king was unpredictable, this power-crazy evil man. It's clear from verse 19 that these guys did have a love for them, and so they told them to go away. And all the officials report to the king in verse 20 there. And they went in to tell the king that they did not take the scrolls with them, interestingly enough, but they left them in the chamber scribe, or in the chamber rooms of Elishamiah. But the king sent Jehudai to get the scroll and read it to him, and he had it read. And what is interesting there, did you notice that in verses 23? That he'd only read just 3 or 4 of the columns. Just a few bits of the scripture before he'd had enough. and he sliced it in two, and then he cut it into little bits and he threw it into the fire. This was supposedly to be a God-fearing leader of God's people Israel. This is the king of Judah. This was the key political figure in God's land. But look at his attitude concerning the word of God. He put a stop to God's word being read. He took a scribe's knife and he cut it into pieces. And even though those who were close to him, these other leaders, these council members, even though they pleaded with him, he refused to listen to them. He held the word of God in total and utter contempt. Do you know, as well as the need as in Jeremiah's day to speak the truth of God's pending judgment, there is another truth that was true in Jeremiah's day that is true in our day, and it's simply this, that there are many even of God's people that don't like God's word. They are offended by it and challenged by it, and they won't allow it to be preached. There are many who go to church but don't want to sit and be taught the word of God. Just like in Jeremiah's day. The king commanded that Baruch and Jeremiah be arrested. But I love that phrase there. In verse 26, it says simply there, but the Lord had hidden them. No chance of finding them. God was watching over his servants. And in the same way now, God is watching over his servants today. Therefore, we should not fear. God's word will not be destroyed. Sadly, people may not listen to it, but it will not be destroyed. And so God gives the word to Jeremiah to proclaim a second time in verse 23. Look what it says there. After the king burned the scroll containing the words of Baruch, these things that had been written at Jeremiah's dictation, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying this, take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, burnt up. God's word will not be thwarted. Never. Get another scroll, Jeremiah. Write exactly what I'm going to tell you to do. Just rewrite what I've told you already. But on top of that, Jeremiah, do this for me. Give a specific word to Jehoiakim who has burned this scroll. When God has his word rewritten, he added a direct word to Jehoiakim. Take another scroll, write it down. But also in verse 29, tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, these words. This is what the Lord God, you don't want the Lord God speaking direct to you in this sort of way, do you? After burning his word. But God speaks direct to Jehoiakim. Tell Jehoiakim, king of Judah, this is what the Lord says. You burned that scroll and said, why did you write on it that the king of Babylon would certainly come and destroy this land and cut off both men and animals from it? Why did you speak truth to us, God? Therefore, this is what the Lord says to Jehoiakim, king of Judah. He will have no one to sit on the throne of David. His body will be thrown out and exposed to the heat of the day and to the frost of night. He will be punished, he and his children and even all the attendants. Normally the punishment of God gives it directly just to the individual, but not on this occasion. God included the family for generations to come. The reason being simply this, is it wasn't just the king's heart that was rotten. It was the whole of the royal family that was rotten. God would not have judged them if they were not in that same place. They would have done exactly the same thing. And so according to verse 32, Jeremiah took another scroll. He dictated another copy to Baruch and he gave it to Baruch. Folks, just as we close this night, I just want to say one simple thing, that many who demean God's written word, they may despise God's word. They may try and seek to destroy it. They may take it out of the heart of our nation. They may even stop it being read in our schools and in public places. But God's word will never, ever be destroyed. Never. Any person, any church, any city, any nation, any ministries that minimalizes the written word of God, the Bible, is making a fatal mistake. Because within the word of God, not only does it contain the future judgments of God or the present judgment of God, but within the word of God also contains the grace of God. The truth about the forgiveness of God that is offered to all who would turn and repent. God is watching over his holy word, that many may turn, that many may put their trust in him. The way of hope for a future is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in that redeeming work that we were looking at this morning, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's word will never ever be destroyed. Because God's word is eternal. And Christ's work is eternal. And God is working his purposes out as year succeeds to year. And by the grace and by the mercy of God, we in his love are being caught up in his purposes, that we may be found faithful, just like Jeremiah, just like Baruch were faithful in her day, to call our nation back to the God of the Bible. To tell them the whole truth, not just some truth. Not just the fact that there is a loving God who forgives them. Do you know, I remember doing some street evangelism some years ago now. And I remember talking to this chap and I said, you know, and I was speaking to him, but you know, God loves you. God gave his son for you who died for you. You know, pouring out my heart, the full gospel. Do you know what he said to me? I didn't ask him to do that for me. I didn't ask him to love me. I didn't ask Jesus to die for me. The love of God and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ meant absolutely nothing to him. But when we approach people in our evangelism with a different way, when we approach them telling, do you know what? The judgment of God is coming. But the God of love has made a way to be freed from their judgment, then suddenly things are very, very different. Jeremiah was faithful in his day. And sadly, the people didn't respond. Not all of them, some did. There was always a remnant in Jerusalem that remained faithful to God. And we need to be faithful in our day. We are part of that remnant in our day, in our generation. And may the Lord help us to be faithful. And may the Lord help us here not to ever demean his word, but to preach the full counsel of God to the glory and praise of his holy name. Folks, there is a hope. There is a message that we have to share. And it's not a hope of uncertainty. It's a hope of certainty for the forgiveness that is offered to in the Lord Jesus Christ.